Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome back. What a great set of interviews we've had so far. And it's not over. We have two more to go. And the next one is going to be fantastic as well. She's Minda Wilson. She's joining us from Affordable Healthcare Review. And Minda has been on our show before. And you can find her interview at exitcoachradio.com. So, Minda, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. You know, last time we talked, it was several months ago, and affordable healthcare was just really getting its legs. And the name of your company, of course, is Affordable Healthcare Review. So that's what you do. So what's happened since? What's going on now? And what's new in your life?
Well, a lot's been going on with the affordable health care. I think the first thing that people have realized since it's been enacted is the word affordable is definitely a misnomer when it comes to insurance and employee benefits.
No kidding.
Most people have seen extraordinarily sharp increases in the cost of their benefits, and it's affected a lot of businesses. In fact, even Walmart is not providing benefits for its part-time employees starting after the first of the year.
So it's just gotten out of hand, huh? Was this something that was foreseen when this was going to happen? I know they talked about, well, things are going to go up because of all the new people that are coming on.
Well, it wasn't the new people that were coming on. Actually, in a way, that could have been beneficial because as far as insurance go, the more people you have, the costs are spread over more policies that are paid. The real problem was that the legislation requires benefits that people don't want or need. So like every woman in the country is covered for prostate cancer and every man in the country is covered for pregnancy.
That seems really unnecessary.
You pay for it.
Part of the cost of your policy
is to cover you for those things.
Yeah, everything has a cost. Every coverage has a cost, but it seems ridiculous.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to your world. Okay, so let's talk about there are some healthcare penalties coming up for 2015, and what will those be, and how will they affect small businesses?
So basically, starting after the first of the year, if you have more than 50 full-time equivalent employees, 50 or more, you're going to have to offer insurance to your employees. And the things that most small businesses don't realize is that means full-time equivalent is calculated by adding up all the hours that your part-time people work. So if you have if you're a movie theater and you have a large number of high school kids working part-time, they add up all the hours of all those people plus all the hours of the management plus anyone else who may be involved, and that counts, those hours count toward calculating the equivalent employee hours. And if you have more than 50, then you're going to have to provide insurance. So that's the first thing that people, and generally I advise people that if you're 49, 48, you probably still should look into providing insurance because they do count overtime. All those hours count towards the equivalent calculation. So people close to the margin need to check it, be very careful. And then if they don't do it, the IRS is the enforcer. So the penalties for not doing it will be implemented through the IRS.
So you have to be very careful about if you're trying to circumvent some of these rules by being, you know, clever about the number of employees you have or how many hours employees work, because there are alternative ways that they measure that can throw you right back into the fray. Okay.
Right. And remember, a full-time employee is somebody who works 30 hours or more for the Affordable Care Act, not 40.
Okay, 30. Okay, well, that's a good point to bring up for everybody, and I'm sure they've been through that. But just another reminder, you can't think about 40 hours anymore. It's so complicated. What are some of the requirements for signing up for insurance for next year?
Well, the requirements are the same. The thing that you need to know about signing up is that for small businesses, there is this shop option, and there are tax credits available. But exchange policies are often more expensive than policies that people can get privately for their employees. And because of that, even with the tax credit, you may be better off getting a private policy. Number one, because the private policies tend to provide better coverage. They tend to provide a larger market of doctors that you will have access to. And they also provide better deductible co-pay kind of agreements with providers so that you don't have to pay as much out of pocket once you've bought the insurance.
And I know a lot of the mystique when affordable health care was coming into play was that people didn't know who their doctors were going to be in the early months. Has that cleared up?
Well, what's happened is nationwide, 7% of doctors have opted out of providing insurance altogether. Mm. So if you have one of those doctors, no matter what policy you buy, you're going to have to pay them cash. And that's just this year. And that number is, again, supposed to repeat again next year. The second thing that's happened is that doctors are limiting the policies they support. So the only way you know for sure that your doctor accepts a particular insurance is to call the doctor, because most of the insurance companies don't have accurate information about who the doctors are that take their different policies. So the best way to do is to check with the doctor.
So 7% have opted out, and you think another 7% are projected to opt out again in 2015?
Well, some of them are opting out because some of the healthcare institutions are also opting out of supporting insurance, and they're actually providing an alternative, like they're becoming HMOs or they're adopting their own sort of insurance-like product. So that's going to also affect the doctor market. So the available doctor market is going to decline again, and the question is really how big a decline we're going to see.
So based on what you've seen so far, I mean, last time we talked was several months ago, is this system a pass or a fail?
I would say it depends on who you are. So if you're a poor person who's been able to obtain health care through Medicaid, it's been a major win for you.
Okay.
You're just doing phenomenally well. If you are a middle-class person who has struggled with issues related to increases in health care costs, then it's a fail. And if you're a wealthy person, it really hasn't made a difference to you one way or the other.
Now, there's an election coming up, and how's the election going to impact insurance costs and health care delivery from your perspective?
Well, it's very important people vote, because the way whoever wins is going to change the healthcare system. And so the question is, who do you want to be changing it? Who do you want to be playing with the healthcare system? One of the big concerns that I have is that there's been a lot of talk about raising the minimum wage, and the raise of the minimum wage will negatively impact lower income people. It will eliminate, so now a person working full time a single person working full-time is eligible for Medicaid, and they can get Medicaid for themselves and then their children if their children need Medicaid. If they raise the minimum wage to a 10-10, which is what Obama has suggested, that same person will no longer be eligible for Medicaid. So the effect of that is in West Virginia, they've monitored the effects of this, and what's happened is, number one, the employee has been healthy. Number two, mm-hmm. the children of the employees have been healthy and have attended more school. And number three, the emergency room, the unpaid emergency room costs have gone down. So it's saved. So net, it's actually saved the state quite a bit of money. If that's true, that'll all go away once the minimum wage is raised. So the only way you can stop that is by raising the eligibility criteria for Medicaid, which is very unlikely to happen by either Democrats or Republicans. And then also the raise of the minimum wage also trickles through so that people are going to have to get less policies and less subsidies for their policies, and they will have to pay more for their insurance and also more for the related services they receive through their insurance. So that's going to be a significant problem for lower income and lower middle class people, lower middle class.
It's going to put them just above the limits so that they're not eligible for some of the benefits they've been used to. It's a really a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other part of it is that not only does it take away benefits that they're used to, but it also can hurt family members that are also indirect benefits of the fact that the benefits don't just apply to the individuals, they apply to their families. So wow. It has a significant impact on families.
So what should people be looking for the election? How should they be looking at this?
It doesn't matter what the party of the representative is. Most representatives have very strong feelings about the healthcare system and how they'd like to change it. So they should be looking for someone who is looking out for their interests. I mean, it's time we really are self-interested and not letting people tell us what we need, but actually be proactive and tell them what we need. So when they promised us affordable health care, we need health care to be affordable. I mean, the several things have, like the $790 billion of cuts to Medicaid have been pushed off till after the election. So the question is, who do you want deciding what Medicaid cuts are going to be given? I mean, that's a really mm-hmm. significant issue. When you talk to your politician, who do you want to control Medicare? I mean, all that money is going to be taken out of the Medicare, Medicaid system, and it's unclear who's going to control those decisions and what those decisions are going to be. And there are things that can be done that would save a lot of taxpayer money, but because of certain political alignments, it's unlikely that those things will be done, and it's on both sides. For example, one of the things that was on the table that's been taken off the table was health care benefits for prisoners and how extensive those benefits should be. So a significant amount of savings in the billions of dollars could be realized if we reduced health care benefits for people who are incarcerated. And, you know, oftentimes they get benefits beyond what a normal citizen would get. Like, you know, like if you're a middle-class person, you probably don't get a heart transplant chemotherapy paid for 100% by your insurance policy. But prisoners get that, and it's 100% paid. So the question is, maybe there should be some limits put on the medical care that prisoners get that are the same as people who are not prisoners get. And
that's
outrageous. Save our taxpayers a lot of money.
This is How do you control your blood pressure? This is just outrageous stuff that we're talking about. You know, so far what we've talked about is, I mean, the fact that we're talking about pushing people just barely above the limits of benefits for themselves and their families with legislation, and not correcting the bright line for those tests. And now we're talking about giving prisoners benefits that others don't even have access to out there. It's quite a world you live in there, Minda.
I'm so happy to share it.
Hey, tell me, what should employers be looking for now? Are there any new things coming at them?
There are some bargains out there. So let's talk about that for employers, because that's really important. Insurance companies are still offering what's called non-compliant policies, which means that they don't offer all the required benefits. And those policies you can actually get at a significant discount. And so those are still considered private policies. So if you can shop around, I would look to see if there are any private policies available that are non-compliant. And by non-compliant, that goes back to the need for offering health care to for women for prostate and for men for pregnancy. So there are other things that are not offered in the non-compliant policies, but they're generally oriented towards well care benefits that most people don't use anyway.
Well, okay, so there are still options available for employers, and what you do at Affordable Health Care Review is help those employers determine what those options are and really try to make sense of everything so they can get the best coverage at the best price for their, you know, for what their employees need, right?
Well, we are not insurance brokers. We're actually a nonprofit organization, and we try to educate people. Our services are free. And then what we try to do is steer you to somebody who is qualified, who can give you good advice. And when you go to talk to that person, you're well informed so that they can't take advantage of you.
Okay, that's even better. For our listeners who are business owners, this is a service that you can have. And how do they access that service again?
They go to our website. They go to our website, Affordable Health Care Review. They send an email, and we call them back usually within 24 hours, or if they've given us a phone number, or we email them back, and then we start a dialogue about what their business looks like and what their health care needs or other benefit needs for their employees are, and then we do an analysis of not only their needs but compliance issues that might come up, and then we refer them out to service providers, or they may already have a service provider, but when they speak to that person, they're armed with their information they need to have an intelligent conversation and know what their options are.
It's like a free roadmap that might show you a better route to your destination, which is the crazy world of healthcare that we're living in right now. The changes have been phenomenal and impactful, and we're still trying to make sense of it out here as busy business owners try to run their business, and you get a sense of the craziness that's going on with some of these policies from Minda. But if you're not sure, if you're not clear that you have the best structure, you have absolutely nothing to lose. Go to affordablehealthcarereview.com and get in touch with Minda and her team and let them help you make sense of it all. Minda, thanks very much for joining us again. It's enlightening. I'm pulling my hair out as we speak, listening to all this stuff. But you know, it's we need to keep on top of this. So let's touch base in another couple months and see where we are with this, especially with the election ahead. And I really appreciate you coming back on the show. It's been a delight to have you on.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Thanks. I've been talking with Minda Wilson of Affordable Healthcare Review.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners. where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.